Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
On episode 74 of the Green Street Hammers podcast, the team discuss transfer news, their own transfer targets, and everything West Ham. So let's hammer it down. Welcome back to the Green Street podcast. It's episode 74. I'm joined by the ever faithful Lou. How are you doing, Lou?
Very good, thank you. I was just there watching the playoff final. As Jack said earlier, quite a boring one, but I've switched it off now. So there'll probably be quite a few goals.
Yeah, it was supposed to be quite an exciting game, but it's been quite dead so far. Jack, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, mate. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. It's always nice to be asked in return. But yeah, so excited to get going. And Scott, it's been a while since you've been on. How are you?
Yeah, just happy to be back. Good to finish the season, and then we can now look forward to the next one.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be optimistic by the end of the transfer window. And that's where we're going to start with sort of the updated news and everything. So the one player a lot of West Ham fans are wanting to sign is QPR's Eberechi Eze, who I'm sure everyone knows all about now, even though they wouldn't have known about him a year ago. Crystal Palace have potentially had a bid rejected by QPR. What do you guys think of that? Do you think that will motivate West Ham to make their move, or are we just going to continue to see a lack of movement from the club? I'm going to go to Jack first.
Sorry. Well, I think it should do, really. You'd hope it would, but I don't think it will now, because a lot of stuff's come out recently saying that now he's not the priority and it's the defence. It'd be really disappointing if we don't at least try and go for him.
Yeah, Scott, what do you think about it?
I mean, trying to work out how West Ham do things in the transfer market has been a bit odd over the last few years. So will it motivate them? I mean, you're right, it should do. But we kind of always made our own decisions and gone where the board think we should do, for good or for worse, better for worse as such. But I'd like that. We don't want to see our options limited. If we want him, we should go for him. We don't want to see that disappear and then have to make another, more substandard buyers just because we didn't act fast enough.
Yeah, I think you've got that just about right there, to be honest. Scott, to be honest. And Lou, what do you think about it?
I just think if you want someone and someone else trying to get them, if you then have to make a second, what's worse, paying $2 million over or getting someone that you isn't going to actually fill the gap? I feel maybe we've made some weird decisions before. We've potentially overpaid for some of the players that have come in, but then if you get someone that's second choice, unless you are just sort of, you know, interchangeable between the two, second choice doesn't push you up the table.
Yeah, I think you've hit that quite well. Lou, what about you with Eze?
Yeah, well, you just keep hearing the strong word on the street that we need to, you know, sell to buy, to raise funds to buy players. But it's just about who, if that is the case, who you let go of. And then, because that obviously takes time in itself. And then you'd have to do the transfer deal then of Eze while Crystal Palace are in the works, basically. So by the time we'd let someone go and then potentially then try and influence Eze to come, he's probably already, you know, at Selhurst Park. So if we've not got money, then we've not got money. But it's hard to see why we haven't got money. Because, you know, the bit based on the income that the club get, we're supposedly the 17th richest club in the world or something. But then again, rumours are we still owe a lot of money from past transfer dealings, so I don't know how they've worked out. And obviously, they've been done in instalments, which is possibly, I could see why they would do that, but obviously it impacts future dealings. So, the good thing is that in Eze's position, I think we're quite well stacked with, you know, Fanals, you got Bowen in, I know he's the other side, and then Dean Garner's come back as well, of course, and we've still got Anderson, and at the moment Lanzini, so I can see why we would be targeting other areas on the pitch, you know, before that, you know, attacking midfield position.
Yeah, I completely understand what you're saying. Like, I think they should maybe have been a bit clearer from the start of the summer that, like, we should be prioritising the defence, because that's really been the big issue with West Ham over the last couple of years, is the troublesome fullback positions, centre-backs not being on form or being out of form, and the goalkeeper issues we had before Fabianski, and now seeing a little bit with Fabianski, maybe his consistency's dropping a little bit. We touched a bit about this last week, about sort of the board and the lack of funds there appears to be, but you're seeing like clubs like Crystal Palace are bidding for players. Brighton have already bought in Adam Lallana and Veltman, not on a combined fee of anything over £1 million, but probably quite substantial wage fees. And we'd supposed to have cleared all this off the books last season with all the players that left. Yet, for some reason, it's coming out that there's still quite a high wage bill every week, which I'm sure there is with the players that are there. But we were supposed to be starting last season a lot more sort of financially viable with what wages players are on. Like, what do you think about that, Jack?
Yeah, I don't really understand, like, how, like, we have no money, really. And they've just sort of been a bit sneaky about it, haven't they, really? Like, sort of leaking stuff that we got a lot of people off the wage bill. And I don't think they've been really truthful about that, really.
Yeah, like, I saw an example on Twitter today. It was about Adrian and the fact we let him go because his wages were quite high and brought in Roberto and David Martin, who are supposed to be on a combined less wage than Adrian, yet I think Clarence Hugh put out a story sort of suggesting otherwise.
Yeah.
So there's a whole bunch of different stories. But as we talk about people leaving, Albion Ayeti, the striker who seemed to never get a chance at the club, whether or not he deserved it or not, still remained to be seen. His move to Celtic is back on. What do you guys think? This is a good move for him, Jack?
I think, to be fair, like, I think he'll bang in goals in the Scottish League, really. I think it's a bit unfair of us not to really give him a try, because I think he might have done all right really here, but we've not really given him the opportunity to shine and show what he can do. So it might be good to, like, loan him out for a season, even though if they might have an option to buy, but I think that's probably likely. But it might be good to see how well he does, and maybe we can persuade him to come back next year.
Yeah, Scott, do you think Ayeti got a fair crack at the whip?
No, I don't think there's really anyone that thinks he got a decent run in the actual team. I mean, obviously, we don't see training. That's a big thing. If he wasn't performing there at all, then it's hard to, you know, turn around after someone's not performing week in, week in, and out training that, you know, and go, oh, yeah, you're up front in the Premier League this week, or even give him solid chances. But after the sort of discussions that were had around him arriving and him being kind of, you know, someone that went after goals and, you know, was able to, it was a decent finisher, to then not see him, well, I don't know, what was his longest chance in any significant match? What, 15 minutes, 20 minutes? It's hard to make your impact there. I mean, you obviously get some great players that do, but I do feel sorry for him there. But yeah, I agree. I think he's going to go off to the Scottish League and do quite well.
Yeah, Lou, do you think we just didn't suit his style and that was the issue?
Well, it's hard to see up until, you know, Antonio got a run in the striker role. It was hard to see any striker that would have suited that specific style that we were playing earlier on in the season. But like Scott says, he was limited to cameo roles in the Premier League, and the only starts he got were in, you know, overall horrific displays by the whole team in the cup. He started at Oxford away when we lost 4-0.
Yeah.
And against West Brom at home, where virtually everyone played dreadful. So it's really hard to see what he's truly capable of. And even in those games, I can't remember, you know, a good chance that he had to score to display the finishing qualities that, you know, he kind of obviously has, because he was doing, I know Swiss League isn't the barometer of, you know, success for a striker, but he still has that capability of putting the ball in the back of the net. And as for Celtic, I think the Scottish League and Swiss League aren't miles apart in terms of quality, so I can see him certainly scoring goals for them. And whether we then want to recall him after potentially doing well, or recoup some of the money, you know, that we originally paid for him, then overall I think you know, it won't exactly be a flop in terms of we'll have lost all our money and then recoup nothing. I think we can either get a decent player out of it or we can get some of our money back.
Yeah, absolutely. My sort of concern with Ayeti was whenever I sort of saw his highlights from Switzerland and Basel, he always seemed like sort of a Vardy kind of striker, of got a relatively good amount of pace and wants to get in behind the defence for like long balls over the top into space and run onto it. But we don't play that system, and teams always set up quite deep against us because they know our worst enemy is having the ball for a long time. And like, to only get starts against Oxford United and West Brom, where they are going to sit back because they're the lesser side, according to the leagues, whether the actual result showed very differently. Like, he wasn't ever going to be able to get that chance that he's flourished on and has sort of made his career out of. And that's sort of what's cost him his time at West Ham, I think. But there's a few other players that have been linked with sales. So Ryan Fredericks was rumoured to be heading to Southampton, but I think that might be off now because I think Southampton had a bid accepted for their loan player, Kyle Walker-Peters. So I just wanted to know, like, would you guys consider selling Fredericks, or, and if you were, who would you want to replace him with? I'll come to you, Scott, first.
I think that's I don't know, like some of the moves that have been rumoured, seeing as we're looking to sell to buy, if we're looking to sell Fredericks, I don't know how much we're getting for him. Do you know, I mean, I don't think he's going to fetch overly much. His form hasn't been brilliant in the league this year. So that's not like kind of funding two positions. Like, you want to sell someone who's going to be able, like, leave you with space to buy someone, and either buy someone else in another position or kind of, you know, with money left over. Fredericks is probably going to be like a one in, one out kind of sell. And given his, you know, his ability to change a game with his pace, I would quite like to keep him. I think there's certainly something that can be unlocked with what he has there. And it's just, I think before when we didn't really have a viable option as backup, that was always a worry. Fredericks is a one option and one option alone at right back. Yeah, worried. But, you know, we had Ben Johnson come through towards the end of the last year. I mean, it was a shame about Ngakia. Yeah, I think we've got some, hopefully some ways forward there, but we'll see.
Yeah, Fredericks, I always feel like he got a bit too much slack, really. I know at times he lacked with his defensive capability, and we know how fast he is, and sometimes he doesn't show it sort of going forward, and he's sort of maybe a bit of a maybe player. But when he does play well, I think he is a very capable right back, and sort of he just needs to be trained to be consistent. So Lou, do you think Fredericks deserves another chance, or would you be looking to offload him and replace him?
No, I'd be willing to keep Fredericks. I agree. I think he gets a little bit too much slack from West Ham fans in general. I don't think he is as bad as people make him. I agree in terms of he lacks concentration at times, and you know he's prone to a dodgy tackle and lunging in to give kind of free kicks away in crucial areas. But I think offensively, I think he's improved a lot this season. I think he's got, I'm not sure how many assists he's got, but I can think of a few at least. And his crossing in general has improved. So like you say, if he works on his defensive positioning over the summer, I think he can be a decent level. I don't think he's ever going to be a fantastic, fullback at Premier League level, but I think he can be a decent level that'll do a job for us in terms of improving in the league. And of course, we've got Johnson waiting in the wings to hopefully step up if that's not the case. But yeah, I'd keep him for another season to see if he can improve his own game.
Yeah, Jack, what do you think about Fredericks? Do you think he's a bit harshly treated, or he just sort of needs sort of the backing of everyone to sort of flourish? Because we've seen he is able to have incredible games. I mean, I remember the Southampton game in his first season, he scored a perfect 10 rating, and he's had games this season where he has been sort of the last defender because he's the only one with that sort of pace in order to get back.
Yeah, I do quite like him as a player, and I think sometimes his criticism is a bit over the top and not really needed, but there are times where he is a bit questionable. But I think, yeah, as you said, maybe what he needs is for everyone just to get behind him, give him a chance. So I would be willing to see him stay, but if if someone came in with a decent price for him, I wouldn't be against it, if as long as he was replaced.
Yeah, I think you've got that right. We think he's good enough for the moment. Maybe he gets a bit of criticism because everyone's already on the back of the left back, so it's sort of switching over to the right back as well. And another big thing that might have just happened with West Ham transfer news is Fulham have taken the lead in the playoff final.
Yeah.
So if that stays like that, I'm sure some players like Ollie Watkins, Saeed Benrahma and Rico Henry might be a bit more tempted for a move come the summer. What do you guys think of the Brentford team and the players that have been linked to West Ham and how good they've been this season, Scott?
Well, as I say, I don't watch too much Championship football in its own right. I pure matches as such, I see mostly what people post on social media and the like, highlights and that, and you've always got to be quite wary of it. But from what I've seen, there's a couple of players there that I think are really, really capable of stepping up. It's just Benrahma that's, hopefully I'm pronouncing it right, that looks capable of really being a creative player, not just in the Championship, but in the Premier League as well. Someone will not, that fear just isn't there. Someone who can take it past people, I'd really like to see us go for him if we decide we have the money. I mean, he reminds me of he has the attributes that Lanzini did when he joined. Someone's just willing to take that ball 5-10 yards further than others, and that really opens up the game.
Yeah, Lou, so are you seeing Brentford losing, and are your eyes sort of opening up to the prospect of being able to raid their team?
Yeah, that's what I was hoping for. I mean, in general, I want Brentford to go up just because, you know, it's a new team, fresh for the league and everything. But the positive is they've got quite a few players who would I'd certainly like to look at. You've already mentioned Benrahma, who has got capabilities that we possibly don't have as a team at the minute. You said the ball carrying ability, which Anderson is capable of, but he's not really shown recently, as we all know. So I'd certainly like to have a look at him if we don't get Eze anyway. And Watkins has certainly proved himself this season as a goal scorer. Not just as a goal scorer, but his all-round play up front for Brentford has been really good. So to, you know, bid for him and potentially bring him in as a, not just as a, you know, backup for Haller, but competition for Haller, I think that would be a good thing for our team, because I think at times last season Haller was maybe a bit too comfortable, because he knew Ayesi wasn't getting the chance, and then after that there was no one challenging him for his position. So I'd certainly like to have a look at Watkins, well, not just at Watkins, but any potential, you know, striker to come and challenge for that starting role.
Yeah, I think you've done it quite well there. Like, Jack, what about you? I know you're a bigger fan of Eze than you are Benrahma, but if we weren't able to get Eze, would you be happy taking Benrahma if it meant cost of Anderson, if he had to be sold to fund the deal?
I wouldn't be against it, but I also think that, well, Benrahma is a winger, obviously, usually, and that would either mean we'd have to sacrifice Bowen or Dean Garner starting, and I'd prefer to see Dean Garner get given a role. Well, we'd obviously have to sell probably Anderson to fund it, but I'd probably rather, obviously I'd prefer Eze. I wrote an article on it, but I don't know. It's a tough one, really. It just depends, really, on the price and where he's going to play. Because I think he can play down the middle. It's just whether or not he wants to, that's the position he wants to play in predominantly or not.
Yeah, I think you're right, especially mentioning Dean Garner, who, like, reportedly his head might still not be fully at West Ham and a little bit behind at West Brom. So anything we can do to sort of make him feel a bit more comfortable at the club, you should probably try to do, and buying competition isn't going to do that.
For West Ham,
we're just going to take a quick break here and we'll be back in a minute.
For match highlights, interviews and the best West Ham videos and podcasts, download the free COY Irons app now from the App Store and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Green Street Hammers podcast. We've already discussed a bit of the transfer news that's been surrounding the club over the last week or so. Now, for this episode, I've asked everyone to go out and have a look for their own target to bring into the club that might not have been linked with the club, but someone that they believe could strengthen the side and maybe be an important player. So I'm going to go to Scott first. Who's your sort of surprise target?
Okay, so I may be completely wrong in thinking it's a surprise target, but I was trying to look into sort of leagues that we'd be able to get a deal. And I think Max Clark from Vitesse, he is a left back in the Dutch First Division. And when I first did, I was just going through some stats and this kind of thing, trying to pick up some players that I thought would be an addition. And I think left back is probably the area that we really need someone who's going to be able to just play every game, no worries, not make mistakes, and that would really add to our thing. And so I had a quick search around, looked through some of his match reports and the like, and he seems a great crosser of the ball. He's quite a creative left back, kind of if you can remember when Aaron Cresswell actually started for us, when he came from Ipswich, he was really just looking to get balls into the box when he could, and it was a really, really big advantage to have that. But he's also good defensively. From the reports I've read about him, he doesn't really seem to make slip-ups in the back. He's quite strong in the tackle, which we've lost with Cresswell since his injury. And given that he's from the Dutch league, he's British as well, and Who Scored have his value at something ridiculous, like less than $1 million. I know, obviously, you'd end up paying more than that, but given we're going to be having to sell to fund, I think that would be an interesting idea. There is one or two YouTube videos of people talking about him being the next Andy Robertson, because he's from Hull. So there's the people drawing a link there as well. And I think there's been some potential talk of him being linked to some top teams throughout time, because he's had a decent season, picking up a few assists and a goal in the Eredivisie. So, yeah, Max Clark from Vitesse.
Yeah, he sounds like a really good prospect. Someone they should definitely have a look at via the sounds of it. Jack, what about you? Who's your sort of surprise target?
So I'm going to sort of break the rules in. I've got two. I'll mention the one that's more likely, and then I'll show you my surprise target afterwards. But I've gone for Alex Telles, which might be a bit of a stretch, but he's quite well known as one of the best left backs in Europe really at the moment. But he's out of contract next year, which could bring his price down. And like, no one's gone for him for quite a few years, and his name's been mentioned around, but no one's actually made that move for him. So, with the current coronavirus going on, might be able to knock his price down a little bit more. But he's scored 11 goals and assisted 8 others this season. So he's obviously got that quality, either goal scoring or assist wise. I think it'd be fantastic to sign, but I'm not quite sure as to whether we'd be able to do it.
He's from Porto, isn't he?
Yeah, from Porto.
So potentially could be similar to Pereira when he joined Leicester.
Yeah.
But on the other side.
Yeah, he's obviously I've seen I don't watch much of like the Portuguese league. I'm not gonna pretend I do, but from sort of clips on YouTube, you can see that like he's got like good crossing accuracy. And like, yeah, he's very attacking minded, but also very good defensively.
Yeah, sounds interesting. Who's the lesser known target?
Well, it's not. I wouldn't say it's lesser known, but it's much more unlikely. So I've gone quite big here. I've looked at the free transfers, and Cavani is on a free transfer. So you never know. Why not take a punt? Maybe if his wages aren't too extortionate, could be fantastic, really. But I very much. Or highly doubt that would happen.
Well, I'd be very happy with either of them.
Yeah.
I think everyone would agree that. Lou, yeah. Who's your unknown entity that you want to throw into the mix?
Yeah, it's not quite as extravagant or as exciting as Edison Cavani.
He was linked to the club a long, long time ago. We did almost sign him, I think, when he was at Palermo. So yeah, there's a bit of history there.
I think it was about the same time as to when we were linked with Neymar as well.
Yeah, from Santos. It was either going to be him or Cavani.
And we got neither.
We got Benny McCarthy.
Yeah. Anyway, this isn't very inspiring maybe, but I think with our current financial, status in the market, I'm going to go with Matty Longstaff who's just been not released by Newcastle, but his contract's just run out as he wouldn't sign a new deal because apparently they were offering him quite low wages. And I'm not sure how true it is, but they were offering him less than 10,000 a week, which you can see why he might be holding out for another club to come in for him. But I just think it'd be depth in midfield, which I don't think we've got in abundance. Obviously, we've got Rice, who at the moment is very reliable. Suchek's coming and Noble. But apart from that, Wilshere's certainly not reliable. And yeah, I think we just need more depth in that area. And just based on our lack of funds, he would obviously be a free transfer. And by the sounds of it, not particularly high wages, just, you know, more than 5,000-10,000.
Yeah, I think he's a really good shout.
From what I've seen, and from what I've seen of him, he looks like a you know, tidy player, nothing spectacular, like I say. And I don't think Newcastle fans, based on the comments I've seen, wanted him to go, and quite unhappy to see him go, and more unhappy at the, you know, miserable offer that, you know, Ashley's offered to him. So I wouldn't be adverse to picking him up on a free transfer.
No, I think he's a really decent shout. Especially, I remember his goal against United this season was a great goal and gave him a famous win. And especially, like, Mark Noble could potentially be retiring at the end of next season, so you need to think about a sort of replacement for him before he's gone. Jack Wilshere, he might be leaving if anyone was going to take his wages, but even if he stayed, he's very, very injury prone, which we all know, so he's not reliable that way. And obviously, Carlos Sanchez has already left the club. So it's definitely, he'd definitely be a very sensible transfer to make, I think, if you could get him on a free transfer. I don't know how the compensation would work out, but I can't imagine it'd be that high, because he's only played, I think, under 20 games or so. So if there had to sort of be the compensation because they brought the player through rather than a transfer fee, he could be a very sort of sensible player. My player was Ben White, the centre-back who belongs to Brighton but spent last season on loan at Leeds. He had a great season for Leeds, helping them to win the league. His cost, I mean, he's only valued on transfer market at £5 million, but I think you're going to have to be paying closer to 20 for him, which would be a big expense for us. But as maybe the defence is a priority, it would be wise money, especially with Ogbonna now being very much the wrong side of 30. I know he's had a great season, but you need to think, prepare for replacing him. And Balbuena could be on his way out after an inconsistent season. And it's a Diop's not even been the most consistent and has also been linked with moves away from the club. So maybe bringing in a centre-back wouldn't be the worst idea. And someone who's young, English and promising like Ben White is, could be a really sensible buy. He scored on the last day of the season a fantastic volley. He got two assists throughout the season, but his defensive stats really impressed me. For a team as dominant as Leeds was, he still averaged 1.6 tackles a game, 2.5 interceptions and 2.7 clearances. Like, his average rating over the whole season of 49 games was 7.09. Like, for a 22-year-old centre-back in the Championship, which is a highly competitive league, it's really impressive numbers. The only issue we're trying to get him would be his potential cost. Because Brighton are quite stacked at centre-back and defence, so it's hard to see where he fits in if he doesn't go straight into the starting squad. Because I think he probably feels like he deserves to start, and if he doesn't get that at Brighton, then he'll probably want to move away either back to Leeds, or if we could offer him a good deal, we could attract him, I'm sure. So yeah, so I think we've got some really good sort of targets there. Longstaff, Ben White, Matt Clark, was it? Scott?
So Max Clark.
Max Clark.
I will also just quickly add in Anthony Robinson. Now Wigan's relegation has been confirmed, I think he has a release clause, which would allow you to see him go for under a couple of million. He's 22 years old, left back again. So, I mean, I know we're going to be bargain hunting, and it might be a punt, but it could be worth it.
Yeah, for a player that was linked to a £10 million move to AC Milan and was in Milan on deadline day, that seems like quite a good deal. So yeah, we've got some very reasonable targets there, and then we've got Jack's targets that might be a little bit out of reach.
Yeah, not very realistic, I apologise.
Nice to have a range.
Yeah, it's good to have a range, and like, maybe we'll pull out a deadline day special and put in Edison Cavani to sort of strike partner with Haller, and I think that we would see an improvement going forward with that sort of combination. We'll take another quick break and we'll be back for the third and final part. Welcome back to the Green Street Hammers podcast. This is the third and final part. With news earlier this week that Bournemouth manager Eddie Howe has left his position at the South Coast side, and he's previously been linked to the West Ham job multiple times. And with the fact that David Moyes might not be everyone's cup of tea or so, I was just quite curious to get the conversation going. Like, if the opportunity arose, would you sack David Moyes now and replace him with Eddie Howe? So I think we'll go one by one here. So Scott, would you make that move? And if so, why? Or if not, why not?
I've been a big fan of Eddie Howe and the style of football he plays. In the future, I think having him linked with a vacant position at West Ham would be a good thing. He plays a decent style of football. He's pretty young for a Premier League manager with the kind of experience he has as well. But for me, Moyes is, you know, he's come in twice, like, kind of, like, you know, jumped to our safety when other managers have failed. And I don't know. Like, I would feel bad. I think he deserves a chance to, you know, and this transfer window is going to be odd as well. So I think if he can prove himself, given a full season, you know, actually starting the year and taking it forward, I'd be happy to keep Moyes for a while. He did wonders at Everton. I mean, I know he can, like, Sunderland was a complete and utter disaster, but then that club right now is. So I don't think that's a reflection on him so much. So I would feel a bit aggrieved for David Moyes if we did replace him, even though I'm a big fan of Eddie Howe.
Yeah, I think you're right there. Jack, what about you?
I think as you've just said, I think that he deserves the chance to stay. And I think that if we had funds this summer, then it could have been like a possibility for us to maybe go for him. But I don't think that's the smartest choice, really, because Moyes has been here twice before. He knows what we want. He's probably got a better relationship with the board. And it's probably just a smarter option just to keep Moyes. And obviously, as you were saying, that he's looking like he's going to build something here, as he did with Everton. So it's quite exciting to see what he could build, like, given if he's given the right funds. But we'll have to see, really.
Yeah, definitely. Like, Eddie Howe, he's had over almost 200 games in the league. He's won 56 of his games, drawn 43, lost 91. His team scored 241 goals, have conceded 330. Like, it's not the most impressive sort of record to have in the Premier League, especially with how he's been linked to the Arsenal job and the England job. So, like, Lou, do you think maybe Howe's been a bit overrated because he's, like, young and English? He's only 42 years old, and that Moyes should be respected higher within the club by the fans?
Based on what Howe's done for Bournemouth, I think it's difficult to call him overrated, because at the end of the day, he's performed miracles to even get them to the Premier League in the first place. But since they became an established Premier League team, I think regarding transfers in particular, he's done a pretty rubbish job. You know, he's signed some absolute duds. White Pigney, Solanke, and, you know, Ibe, to name a couple. Yeah. So if he came here and did somehow end up having, you know, a big transfer budget, then I wouldn't be too optimistic in him handling that kind of situation so well, where Moyes actually has quite a good record in this transfer market for Everton down the years. And, you know, he's proved it in January with Bowen and Souček. So, like the guys said, I think Moyes certainly deserves his chance this time around.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think by the time, you know, Moyes is possibly done here anyway, whether that be a couple of years, I think Howe will have probably found another job by then anyway. So I just don't think the timing's right in regards to, you know, how to West Ham being a realistic, you know, possibility.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's it would be very harsh to displace Moyes with what he's done. And I think, like, looking at his creative, great at Everton. Sunderland was a poison chalice, like Scott mentioned. But like, I even think he was actually, he did all right at Manchester United. You saw like the flow of managers they've had since then, like Louis van Gaal and Mourinho, who have struggled to sort of take United back to where they thought they should be. And like, I always think of the United side that's been since Ferguson. I always think the two most important players they've had until maybe the last year and a half or so was Juan Mata and Marouane Fellaini, both Moyes signings. And like, I know they might, like Fellaini especially, he might not be the most glamorous player in the world, but he won them results and got them points when all of the big money signings here and there failed, and all like the old players of United that people thought they could count on would flourish, they failed, yet Fellaini would be that big man. And I would like to see David Moyes be given the chance to sort of build this like Red Bull philosophy through West Ham and like actually have a project for a change. Like, I was reading the West Ham season review of last year, and it was the when we signed Pellegrini, it was the Pellegrini project, this new exciting direction. Well, that's already over. So it would be nice to sort of see someone be given that full opportunity to do and show an actual project, rather than we're going to do a project until you're not good enough and then we're going to sack you. So even maybe if it doesn't go overly well, but actually to have a project and like a knowing where you're trying to get to, that should work best rather than chopping and changing every year.
100%. I think like if you look, I mean, you mentioned Man United as well, but I mean, I think given that squad that Ferguson managed to win a title with, proved how good he was as a manager. But I mean, Moyes' only trophy is what, like the, was it the Community Shield that he won at the start of the like the Man United era?
Yeah.
Look, taking over that club at that point was, that was such a tough ask. I mean, they just won everything. Like, this is a club that expected to win a trophy a year, and you're giving it to a manager who's never won anything. It's that's a different mentality. So I think we have to be realistic and go, well, look, we're not expecting a trophy. Like, we can't expect one. We haven't won one since a major one since 81. So it's I think Moyes is a solid ask. And if he can, I think what Pellegrini failed to do was make us hard to beat so that he could get his project time, if that was really his aim. Hopefully Moyes can keep us, you know, buoyant and above the relegation battle whilst trying to move us up.
Yeah, I think you're right. And like Moyes, I think we'll agree he deserves a real crack at the whip and to be given a chance next season, but he must be backed in the transfer window in order for it to be sort of fair enough. Now, I think all like two of the three new kits have been released for next season, and there's the third kit has sort of maybe been linked online. I'm just curious, I think the home kit, when it came out, there was a lot of sort of negativity that maybe the patchwork wasn't quite right or so, but once we saw it in play, it maybe grew on a few people. What did you guys think? Jack, what about you?
I'm quite a big fan of it, really, the home kit. I think it's quite nice. I've got it, I was wearing it today, actually. But it's quite a nice material, and the crest is quite nice, and the colours and everything, the right shades and everything, it's nice. But what I will say is that it's very, very similar to the kit that we had when we first moved to the London Stadium, mm-hmm. and the one that we had in the last season at the Bowlin. I think it's just pretty much a carbon copy, but like, it is nice, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. I always remember the one when we first moved to London Stadium with the Union Jacks on the arms.
Yeah.
And that sort of confused me a little bit.
Yeah.
Lou, what do you think about the home and away kit?
The home one, at first, I wasn't too keen on it, but over time, looking at it again, it's kind of grown on me a bit. But I think Jack has more expertise on this, considering he actually has it. I don't really tend to buy shirts personally anyway, so it doesn't really bother me too much anyway. The away kits, I think it was close to, you know, being a really good design, but somehow they've, cocked it up, because I think many people's complaints were the hoops, the claret hoops on it, were too far apart, and I can definitely see why people would think that. It just looks a little bit odd. They had the right idea, but the execution was below par, probably.
Yeah, Scott, what do you think of the home and away kit?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to echo what the guys have said already. I think the home kit was a safe one, because, say, you look at the commemorative Last Berlin kits that when we first moved to the London Stadium, it's pretty much the same thing. It's classic old school West Ham, nothing really new about it. I mean, I like it because of that, but yeah, it's not particularly wow. But the away kit, I think, is the one that most people are having an issue with, because it's trying to hark back to, you know, previous kits, but because of the massive sponsor we now have on the front of it, the hoops are far apart. I think if you can't recreate that retro kit, especially because of the new modern issue of the sponsor, people really jarred with that. So it's almost worth, if you can't recreate it faithfully, just ignore it and try and come up with a different concept.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think with both kits, like the home kit's grown on me, but I remember when it first came out and then the away kit came out, I was like, you've got two very, very good solid templates to go off of. But it just sort of, both of them just seemed, there was the slightest sort of thing off with them. The away kits, the hoops being a bit too far apart, and the home kit, for me, it was like the sleeves seemed to come up really high rather than just sort of the sleeve being light blue. And the third kit's been potentially leaked on Twitter. When I first heard that it was going to be black and gold, I was really, really excited, because I think of like the Inter Milan kit of last season and the Juventus one from a few years ago, and black and gold just works so well together. And yeah. I don't know if you guys have seen the picture online, but
yeah,
a shirt on a hanger, it never looks good. But it seems as though they've got this one very wrong from the early sort of thoughts from a lot of the fans and opinions. Like, what do you guys think, Jack?
Yeah, I was about to say, like, the picture isn't the best, but it does seem to be a bit iffy. Like, there's a lot they could have, if it is the real kit, there's a lot more they could have done. The collar, like, seems really old. It reminds me of the collar we had on the first kit of the London Stadium. Like, it was a bit weird. If it is the kit we're going to have, I think it will look a lot better in the photos when it's released. So we'll have to wait and see, really.
Yeah, Lou, what do you think about it?
Yeah, similar. I mean, I think it's based on that picture alone, it looks quite cheap. I think I saw I don't know if it was the same one or not, but I saw it, like a graphic of it, and was it the one with the crossed hammers on you?
Yeah, the one with the crossed hammers. The graphic, I think, had them all the way up to like the collar, whereas the one on the hanger seemed to sort of cut them off and have a similar collar to what the goalkeepers have, of like that sort of slightly different shade or material.
It's not like we're going to play in it much anyway, I don't think. But, you know, not a lot of effort has gone into it from what it seems. And, you know, I'm sure the players will probably pull it off, but I'm not sure, you know, a bald middle-aged man with a beer belly will. But, you
know. No, it always looks a bit better on the players than it does the majority of fans, sadly. Scott, what do you think about it?
I mean, like, I first saw the concept idea of the kit when ex-WHU employee was talking about it, and he said like, oh yeah, that he pointed out a rendering that someone had done, and said, oh, this seems close to everything I've been told, and that kit that on the rendering looked amazing, and I was like, yes, that this is going to be a good third kit. And then you saw that wonderful disappointment that was just the hanging on the hanger, and he's like, I don't know if any of you is it fans of The Simpsons, and he's like, oh, that's a good looking barbecue, why doesn't mine look like that? And it's like, it's the classic, the top one, like, when fans are coming up with perfect kit concepts and the people that are paid to do it year in year out can't, that's always a bit of a worry. But yeah, I hope when it gets officially announced that it's not as bad as it looks.
Yeah, they should, if maybe it is that and they've seen a bit of the reaction, then maybe some last minute design changes might happen. But yeah, I think we've sort of gone over them quite well. Like, it's maybe a nearly year for kits. Like, they were good ideas, but maybe the execution's just been a bit sad, especially after the kit we had last year of the away white strip, which everyone loved and was just a beautiful kit. And
yeah, it's good.
So I think there was maybe a bit of hope, because I always get really excited to see what kits we're going to be playing in next year. I always want to be up on the first day when they get announced, kind of thing, to have a look at them. But like, a lot of people sort of haven't been the biggest fans of Umbro since they've sort of become the sponsor, especially I think going from Adidas to Umbro, it's always going to see a bit of maybe a decline in the quality. But I think with Umbro, you see a bit less repetition of your kit around, because Adidas and Nike, I think they get a bit of criticism for just sort of reprinting their kits with the club's colours. So, overall, are you guys happy with Umbro, or would you prefer to see it be given to someone else? And if so, like who? Like Scott?
I mean, I agree. I think it's when you're trying, like, Umbro seem to do, they do seem to try and come up with new ideas. And obviously, when you coming up with new ideas, some of them are not going to work. I'd much rather see us give something new than just, was it Leicester's kit? It was just like a, it just looked like the store kit with Leicester's badge printed on it. I would say for Umbro, like, some of their training stuff, the West Ham training gear that you can buy off the site looks pretty nice. So the whole package wise, I don't think it's too bad. But yeah, it's just going to be annoying when there's a couple of kits in a year that you don't like.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I just want to put a quick question out to you guys, sort of finish up the show. And sort of a quick fire, what's your favourite kit off the top of your head? Lou, you go first.
Ever?
Yeah, ever at West Ham.
That's been mentioned. I think everyone loves the farewell Berlin kit. Probably based on because how we performed in it as well as the actual quality of it. Going back... I'm trying to think of the seasons. It was, the famous De Canio one.
The Dr. Martens.
The Dr. Martens.
I think it was Fila.
Yeah. There's a few from that era I really like. And a couple of away ones from around that time as well. I think it was the similar one to the one this season with the blue and pirate hoops. Possibly the year we went down, actually. I think that was.
I think that was the year in the championship we had the.
I specifically remember the Canio in it, so I think we had one the year we went down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We had the Dr. Martin ones. Yeah.
We had a bald head. And I think there was a white and black one as well.
Yeah.
This is all off the top of my head at the minute, so I can't say specifically. But yeah, from around that era, I really like them. And obviously, you have the classics as well. I have a couple of retro tops. In my wardrobe, so back in the day, I think they were all generally a bit nicer.
Yeah, Scott, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say the De Canio, is it Fila that made it at the time? The
yeah,
the
I collar. Think so.
I think that was a top kit. I did enjoy the just as a bit of an off piece one, because we all go for retro ones, but was it the Alpari one we had under was it Allardyce at the time, like it was mostly claret and had thin stripes across it. I quite liked that as something a bit different.
Yeah, I think that's when you had Adidas, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was Adidas, yeah. I mean, they went for something like, and the away kit that year was like the light blue with the kind of the dark blue sash, which, you know, again, I grew on me compared to how I thought it was going to go. But yeah, I did quite like that home kit.
Yeah, that kit always reminds me of Carl Jenkinson, that away kit, and him whipping in a cross for Ener Valencia to just smash in a header against Burnley. Jack, what about you?
Yeah, like Scott just said, I quite liked the Al Pari kit, the home one. I also, I really loved the away kit for the farewell Bolin season. That the light blue with like the claret stripe with the Betway, I think it's really good.
Yeah, that was a really nice kit.
Yeah.
One that I always think back to, and I think it got a lot of hate at the time, but for some reason I was really drawn to it, was the old, I think it was the season we got relegated, and it was the away strip, the big white jersey with the claret colour and the claret sort of pinstripes down it, sort of looked a bit more like a baseball shirt.
Yeah.
And for some reason I just always really liked it, but I think it was probably one of the worst kits we've ever had, especially in terms of performances in it. But yeah, like we've had some odd kits over the time. I always think about like the centennial yeah, with the shirt with the actual bubbles on it. But yeah, I think my favourite was always going to be the farewell bowling ground. I think for how old I was at the time and like how well we did in it, I think a kit's always almost as good as the season you played in it. And I think that's like the best I've seen us play in my lifetime, unfortunately. But in terms of a retro shirt, I always loved the old Adidas Avco shirts with like just seeing the Frank McAvenny era, which I think the Al Pari one was sort of modelled after. But that was a really good shirt. And I think that's all we're going to have time for today, guys. So thank you very much for joining me.
That's a pleasure. Good to be here.
Thanks, good to be here.
And so, from the Grecian Hammers, come on you Irons.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.